we've been spending some time together talking about being peacemakers, finding peace in a world that wants a fight. And we've talked about how our culture is just kind of built that way. And we don't say it in a way to say, you know, those people out there are bad and we're good. But it is a way to say we live in a time, in a culture, in which bullying behavior is respected. You know, arguments are honored. We value people who can win a fight. We even use it in our everyday language. Like, if I were to ask you before we started this conversation, if I were to ask you, how many of you want a teacher who's going to fight for your child? All of us would say, yeah! But wait a minute. Do we really need a fight? Maybe that teacher could accomplish the same thing with a normal everyday conversation. But it's built in us. Yeah, we want a fighter on our side. What? Scripture teaches us that even in that kind of world, we can learn to be peacemakers. We can learn what it looks like to bring peace into chaos. This morning, we're going to wrap it all up. We're going to finish the series with an important question. Again, you can find a summary of the whole series in those 10 commitments on the back of your bulletin. But we're going to sum up the whole series with this very important question. Peacemaker or peacekeeper? Look with me in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to talk about what we've been talking about all these weeks. What is a peacemaker, and what's the difference between a peacemaker and a peacekeeper? Now, when I say Matthew 5, that's one of those mental bookmarks that we've talked about many times. Every time you hear Matthew 5, 6, or 7, you know that's going to be from the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, 6, or 7 is going to be a direct quote from Jesus because it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 5, we begin the Sermon on the Mount with a series of blessings. We call them the Beatitudes. That really just comes from a word that means blessed. And these blessings are actually an introduction not only to his sermon, but an introduction to the kingdom of God. The Beatitudes show us what it's like to live in the kingdom of God, understanding that when we do that, we will be blessed. So blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek. And then look at verse 9, Matthew 5 and 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Now, as we move forward, I want to make sure that you recognize that phrase, sons of God. Chances are, in your scripture, there's probably a little number there that says there's a footnote, and it'll take you to a note that says that when they heard that verse, that phrase, they didn't necessarily think son, like male children or child. They knew that noun is either a masculine or feminine. Many languages do that. And so this was the name or the word for an offspring, not necessarily a son. In other words, when you and I read it, it is absolutely appropriate and correct grammar for us to read it by saying, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God, sons and daughters. Keep that in mind as we go forward so I don't have to remind myself to point that out every time we get to there, all right? First, notice with me that a peacemaker resembles the Father. A peacemaker resembles the Father. He says, blessed are the peacemakers. Now, he didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. And that's an important distinction. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. In a way, some of us, I think, wish he did, because peacekeeping is easier. Peacekeeping means I'm just going to kind of overlook that, and we're just not going to talk about that. And you know, there's a difference between having a quiet home and a peaceful home. There are many homes that are quiet because they just don't deal with things, but they're also not at peace. There's a difference between keeping the peace and making peace. Keeping the peace is passive. It's saying, I'm going to back up and not say anything, not do anything. I'm going to just let this all blow over. I'm going to be nice and kind and sweet. Making peace says, our relationship is important enough that I'm going to do the hard work and have the hard conversations, and I'm going to address any conflict because this relationship is that valuable. I'm going to make peace, not just keep it. And what he says then is, blessed are the peacekeepers. Well, why? Because, he says, they will be called sons of God. There's a family resemblance. Understand, when he says they'll be called sons of God, he is not saying that if you become a peacemaker, that's how you become a child of God. If you become a peacemaker, then you can earn your way into God's family. That's not what he's saying at all. It's a very important word there when it says they will be called. What he says is, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called. They will have the reputation. People will see. They will be called sons of God. People will see God in peacemakers. Why? Because God is the ultimate peacemaker. If you think about it, that is one of the most important ways for us to understand how God interacts with man. God created man. God gave man everything man needed. But man said, oh, I want one something else. We rebelled against God, and the Bible says when we did that, sin always causes separation. Sin made us enemies of God. That's a hard word, but it's in there. Sin separated us so much that we were, the biblical word is, at enmity. We were enemies of God. Now, God didn't say, since you made the mess, you clean it up, you fix this. He said, I love you so much, I'm going to provide the means necessary to fix this problem. Sin must be paid for. I'm going to send Jesus to pay for it. I'm going to take the step. He made peace. He could have just sat back and kept the peace and said, well, I didn't do anything wrong. It's your job to fix it. You ask my forgiveness, you handle it, but I'm done. But keeping the peace wasn't enough. He made peace at a big price. And so now the Beatitude says, blessed are the peacemakers, because they will be called, they'll be recognized as the children of God. The flowers are in the sanctuary today because they are, they're in memory of Cheryl Hokett. We had her funeral just a few days ago. And I got here early, as I normally do, and different family members were coming in early. And I saw this guy that looked a lot like Joe Hokett, Cheryl's husband. He was a little younger, and I knew it wasn't Joe, but man, he looked a lot like, he was the same height. Joe's not a real tall fella. And this guy was the same height, had the same facial expressions, the same look. And I walked up to him and I said, you look like Joe Hokett. And he said, there's a reason for that. This was Joe's little brother, younger brother. And I could tell that they were family because they bore the family resemblance. The Beatitude says, blessed are the peacemakers, because they're going to bear the family resemblance of God who makes peace. When people look at faithful believers, they can see God at work making peace. That is indeed a blessing. A peacemaker resembles the Father. In Romans chapter 5, it reminds us of the peacemaking work of the Father. For if, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. In other words, Jesus died in order to make that we could make peace with God. Now Jesus is alive. And now that he's alive, how much more then is he at work helping us to be peacemakers? A peacemaker resembles the Father. Notice then that a peacemaker has first been reconciled by God. A peacemaker has first been reconciled by Christ. If you still have your copy of Scripture handy, look with me over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to camp out the rest of our time right here, so go ahead and turn there with me if you will. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to begin at verse 17. I want you to see that if we're going to be a peacemaker, it has to start somewhere. Being a peacemaker begins when we are first reconciled to God by Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 at 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. You used to be an enemy with God. Now you're something new. Now you can be a friend of God. You used to be dead in your sins. Now you can be alive in Christ. You're a new creature, he says in 17. Look at verse 18. All this is from God, who, through Christ, reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. What does that word reconciled really even mean? Well, it means the same thing that it would today in relationships in which a marriage may be in trouble and they're either going to divorce or they're going to reconcile. It's the same word. It means that we once were separated from God and now we have been reunited with him. Now we are in communion with him again. We have been reconciled. And so our verse says in 18, this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself. That reconciliation takes place as we have a relationship with God through Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says it clearly. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Peacemaker has first been reconciled by God. And this is so important because it is then that it says in verse 19, in Christ, God was reconciling the word to him, not counting their trespasses against them. Trespasses in this sense are sins. The sins separated us from God. But in Christ, that sin has been covered. That sin has been paid for. We are made righteous by the righteousness of Christ. Therefore, we can be reunited, reconciled with him. Think about that great cost. The great cost that God went through to be a peacemaker. And that tells us why it's more difficult to be a peacemaker than a peacekeeper. Let me just get real personal with you real quick. You go to the doctor. He does a lot of tests. He comes back after doing all those tests, and he says to you, I just want you to know that is a really pretty shirt that you're wearing today. I just wanted you to know I've enjoyed our conversation. I have really enjoyed getting to know you. I hope God's blessing on you. Go in peace. We'll see you. Or the doctor comes in and says, we have the test results. I know this isn't what you want to hear, but I need to tell you, you've got cancer. Let me ask you, do you want doctor number one or doctor number two? We want to know the truth. We want to deal in reality. We want peacemakers who are willing to do the hard work, to say the hard things. Peacekeeper. Hey, man, how are you? Yeah, good to see you. I just came from Minnesota all of a sudden. Peacekeepers. Keep it surface and easy and nice. And that's comfortable. I like being comfortable. But when it's something important and serious, I want reality more than I want comfort. And I'll bet you're the same way. We want truth and honesty. We want to deal with peace, and we want to be peacemakers. This passage from Romans and the one from 2 Corinthians clarifies for us the great cost that God went to be a peacemaker. Therefore, we understand when Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers because they're going to look like their daddy. I want to finish with this one last thought. A peacemaker accepts the ministry of reconciliation. He said in verse 17, verse 18, this is from God who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. The last part of verse 19 says it again, entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20 says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. You know, an ambassador doesn't share his own message. An ambassador carries the message of the one who's in authority. We are ambassadors for Christ. We carry his message. What is his message? His message is one of peace. He is a peacemaker, calling us to be peacemakers. In so doing, he gives to us the ministry of reconciliation. So Paul says in Romans 12, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. To the degree that you can control this, be a peacemaker. Carry on the ministry of reconciliation. People look at you and they say, that's what God does. He brings peace. James 3 and 18 concludes our entire series. A harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. You reap what you sow. You harvest what you plant. If you want to harvest righteousness, the way that works is you get out there and make peace. You sow, you plant peace in your own heart, in your own home, in your own community. And as you do that, you'll be able to harvest that righteousness because blessed are the peacemakers. They will be called children of God. Lord, thank you so much for all that you've done, all that you've paid, all that you've gone through, that we might be at peace. Lord, would you help us to carry on that ministry of reconciliation and become peacemakers? We have benefited from peace. Help us to now continue to make it and share it with those around us. And as we do, help us never to do it just for comfort, just so that we can be at ease, but may we always do the hard work of peacemaking so that we can represent you in a world who so desperately needs to find the Prince of Peace. We pray for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together.